Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. Happy Wednesday to you. Heavy rain's going to be moving in a little bit later on today, Dave, so be prepared for that.
What time are we talking?
2:01.
2:01. That'll be around the...
No, I don't know if that's the exact time.
Third inning?
Late afternoon.
At both ballparks?
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get both games in today. So I get the mail the other day, and I kind of need your advice on this, because you know how you do something... And you remember doing it, and you think, okay, you know what? I'm going to have to face the repercussions for this later on.
Sure.
I know you want more specifics than that. I got a red light camera ticket again. And I opened up the mail, and
that's like six for you, isn't it?
No, I went back and looked, because I thought the same thing. I thought, God, I've had, this will be my fourth, but over a... Since they started red light cameras.
Is there a limit before they throw you in the cooler?
No, because apparently this isn't that many. And I contested one. And had to pay it. The other two, I just paid. So I get a red light camera ticket. Here's the weirdest thing about this. You know when you do something, you and I were just talking about an incident, Dave, a speeding incident, and you said, oh, I hope I wasn't caught on camera doing that.
I wasn't speeding. I want to make that clear.
Of course. So that would be a mistake should you get any sort of ticket like that.
I get this.
I opened it up. It's pitch black, so I can clearly see it's my car. Mm-hmm. But it would conflict with when I'm here at the radio station. Very, very early in the morning, pitch black, at an intersection that is on the far west side.
What?
And I don't know what to do about this because it's clearly my car. And I'm trying to think, did I loan my license plate? Let me see the picture. Yeah, oh, you can clearly see it.
The license plate?
No, it's her car.
It's my car. But what is freaking me out about this is I have no memory, because normally you say, I got rerouted because of traffic. Because Super Joe said, was there construction that day? There absolutely could have. But to have no memory of it is what's really just odd to me.
Did you look on your calendar to find out
I did.
What
I,
you were
I looked
doing
back,
that day?
Well, I would have been here.
Yeah, but yeah, because that's...
Look at the time. Well, don't say the time, because then it's going to show
maybe they have the wrong time on there or something. They might have done that.
It looks pretty...
It could be PM.
What's the date?
April 12th?
Yeah, could. Well,
was
no.
It Tuesday or Wednesday?
If it was AM, I mean, if it was PM, it would say PM, or it would say
1700. Exactly. Because they put it in military time on the tickets usually.
Maybe they copied your picture from the other ticket you got.
I don't know.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was thinking. Like a conspiracy theory. Uh-huh.
Yes.
They're starting to get after the people who have done this multiple times, and, you know, maybe somebody's just going to pay. Like, oh, well, I probably went through a red light again.
So do you fight it? I mean, I have no chance of fighting it. But you can't prove
that you're here. We'll witness that you were here.
Oh, yeah. You guys, would you all come to court with me?
Oh, no, I can't do that.
No one has anything better to do.
So this was a Thursday.
Can confirm that you were here.
Thank you, Mary. So good.
Can you see the driver of the car? Can you?
No.
See, that's another thing, Steve. Someone said that if you go and contest a ticket and you can't see the driver, then you can always say, oh, I loaned my car out. But I didn't loan my car out. I mean, I would have been here. And the intersection is just what's so weird to me because it's an area that I would never go to at 5 in the morning.
This makes no sense.
Yeah.
Unless we were getting Euros.
Exactly right.
Some late night Euros.
Right. If we were going to like Mr. Euro.
Do you ever get lost on the way to work?
No, do you?
What?
No, but I'm saying that would be the only explanation.
But
you got lost.
Super Joe had a good backup explanation. I don't want to say lie. A good explanation
the
for
Euros?
This as well. No, not the Euros. The sleep driving.
Ah, yeah, sleep driving.
Do you ever
get
so tired? Not that you're falling asleep, but you just kind of lose your train of thought for a few minutes.
No, you get from point A to point B, and you don't remember anything between them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's bad. I don't know. I just thought, you know, normally you go, this happens, the flash goes off, or you've done it. Whether it's a speed camera, a red light camera, you know, you've done it. I got this in the mail. I was completely blown away and have no memory of it. And I've been spending the past 2 days trying to, I have a pretty decent memory, trying to rack my brain to find out how this could be.
When's the mayor coming in next?
You know, these things happen. I got a ticket once. My car was parked on the street near my house, and the ticket said I didn't have a license sticker, but the photograph of the vehicle license plate clearly showed the sticker.
Okay, and you went and fought it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I said, listen, look at the picture. You can see the sticker's right there. Look at the date on it.
Okay.
But I still got the ticket in the mail about it, and I had to go through the motions of fighting the ticket, even though it was a not rightly issued ticket.
I think I'm just going to be writing the city of Chicago a little check here today.
I was just talking to your attorney. I think we can get you 7 to 10 on good behavior.
Thank you. We were wondering if there was a limit as to how many red light camera tickets you could have.
How many of you have?
Just, this is only my fourth.
Oh, with air quotes.
Oh, but this,
but are you rounding down?
I am.
Is it the same red light you keep running?
No, it's all over the city. Oh. I'm an equal opportunity red light runner.
Where was this one again?
This was on the west side, west of Greektown, at a time where I was here. That's what's so bizarre about the whole thing.
Well, let me see the picture.
Well, no, because you're going to...
I mean, you have a very distinct car. Yeah, that's you.
Okay.
Yeah, we already determined that.
Yeah, I know that. I just wanted to see
you
it for
just
myself.
Scared the daylights out of
Sandberg
it.
Sandberg already said she'd go to court with me, so.
But it doesn't make sense.
What, your car to take your stuff back to your house?
No, but she's been in sticky situations like this before that she's not gotten out of, so.
The only logical.
But she's not gotten out.
Right. So
you want to bring a representative who can't get you out of this?
Well, I could use the moral support. Because you guys all just looked at it.
Here's what happens. Here's what happens when you go to jail. You have to give whoever brings you to the court that day, all your stuff. So if Sandberg's with you, she'll take your personal belongings and bring them back to your house. And that way, and then she can come back and tell us how to visit you.
Okay, so if you're a judge, who do you want to deal with, me or Sandberg?
Well, absolutely you.
Oh, no, I would say her because she's more...
No. Her reputation is well-known in the legal community as well. No, you don't want to deal with Sandberg. Are you kidding me?
Will you go with me?
Sure, of course.
Okay, good.
Andrea, I would fight it because obviously the time is wrong. They screwed up on the time. Yeah, so that's what when I'm the here, problem Steve. Is. But you that's were probably weird. There, but it was just a
What do you mean
time.
Probably there? Of course she was there. She's guilty.
But they screwed up the time on the thing. So she can prove, hey, this is the time you said I was
so
there.
So you are advocating stealing from the system. You're advocating taking money out of a broken city.
They screwed
city.
Up their paperwork.
How about I pay your fine?
Okay.
It's $100, right?
Yeah. No, I don't expect you to. If I was the scofflaw, then I should own up.
Oh, yeah, you're a criminal. There's no question about it, but I'm concerned
Steve,
about
I've
your stress.
I've got 3 tickets here worth $100 each.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Have you had 3?
Yep.
I missed that.
You've had 3, Steve? Okay. See, I'm
so
not that
right. Yeah. If you could give me the money.
Yeah, listen, I've told you before.
Cash.
No, okay, horse boy. Listen, I've told you before, just pay it on time.
I know.
If you're going to pay it on time, because the mistake I made in the first one was I decided, I'll catch you later.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time the third late notice came, it was, they mafia double. They go 100, 200, 500, 1,000.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 500 to the house.
It
it's a lot.
Does. It doubles, yeah. It's crazy.
That's the juice.
That's not good.
The VIG, seventh time you got to pay the VIG. Baseball bat shows up on your front door.
Yeah, that's a good point. Did you have like a dead horse head at your desk or anything?
No, but you can't even see that I'm driving this, so that could be my out.
Okay, again, your car is... You can see your car from Uranus.
I know. Literally.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, friends.
I think it's time
thank
for a
guys.
New car, Andrea.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to continue to break the law, you do need a car that's a little less obvious.
Get my checkbook out here. Dear City
and a, you need a you need a license plate that doesn't say, yes, it's me.
Yes, it's me.
What's coming
up? Oh, Steve, daycare damaged after a building collapses on the south side. We'll have the complete story for you on that. Much, much more coming up at 6:30 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
And traffic sponsored by Account Temps. Quite a few accidents so far this morning. The inbound Kennedy at Damon accident now off to the side. 32 from O'Hare, about 18 from the Edens. Outbound just starting to build out to Cumberland. 24 to the airport. Inbound Eden slow from Toohey. Inbound Ike already 52 from 53. 40 from Mannheim. Inbound Stevenson 50 from the Tri-State. An hour from 355. The Ryans 20 from 95th. Northbound 57 at 111th. Watch for an accident. Also eastbound 88. The ramp to Ogden is closed off still. Fatal accident investigation going on there. And northbound I-65. Accident at 15th. Just moved off to the side. Demand for top talent is at an all-time high. Account Temps can help you find highly skilled temporary accounting and finance professionals who fit your needs and hit the ground running. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Van Vell, WGN Traffic Central.
Can you get frequent flyer points, like from all the times you're in court?
I like how you said the judge is going to say, oh, hey, Andrea, hey. Welcome back.
I picture now Andrea walks into court. It's like Norm from Cheers.
Hey.
Andrea!
Hey, here she is.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, Mayor Rahm Emanuel responded to political opponent Paul Vallis' claims that he's a bully and people don't like him, countering that he's focused on telling hard truths and dealing with Chicago's problems. Mayor Emanuel said, quote, I make no bones about the fact everybody will do what they want to do. Emanuel said when asked about Vallis' comments about an event or after an event highlighting the city's streetlight replacement efforts, I'm not focused on personalities. I'm focused on making sure we solve the problems of the city of Chicago. You know, I like Paul Vallis, mm-hmm. and I like the mayor. Mm-hmm. Paul Vallis is not universally liked. This is a weird road for him to travel down. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wins this argument.
I agree. I also like the mayor's quote, and I took a double take here. I'm going to continue to focus on being direct.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he listens to Sandberg.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Next, former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot is going to jump in for mayor tomorrow, promising a progressive city hall that serves all Chicagoans and hoping her personal story connects with those facing economic and societal disadvantages. Do we have a limit on how many people can run for mayor? Because I think we're at about 212 now.
No, we don't. There is no limit, but there are. I don't remember the field ever being this crowded.
I do want to say this. Everybody can't run.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can't be mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about running for mayor, I guess you could still jump in. But at some point, we have too many.
The weird part of all of this, just the relationships between everybody, because Lightfoot was appointed by Rahm Emanuel in 2015 to chair the police board under Gary McCarthy.
It's just too many.
And right after Paul Vallis left as school chief. So this...
Let me give you an before we go to the next item, an additional mayoral item. The Romeo mayor, Romeoville mayor, John Noak. You ever run into him when you're out there?
I do, yep. I know who he is, okay. Yes.
Romeoville mayor John Noak pled guilty to DUI and apologized to police after hostile and threatening statements. You know, it was the booze talking. But he apologized.
He did apologize, yes.
So let's see what he can do to make up for it. Mm-hmm. Next, let's go to Washington. Washington's going to reimpose stringent, I should say Donald Trump in particular, the Trump administration is going to reimpose stringent sanctions on Tehran that it waived as part of the 2015 nuclear accord under Barack Obama after President Trump announced yesterday, President Trump announced yesterday that he was withdrawing the U.S. from the seven-country agreement. The other countries are still in. The European countries have issued a terse statement about Trump pulling out. This is something that is, I believe, risky. I believe you do need a plan B. I don't believe you need to necessarily announce what plan B is to me, mm-hmm. but I believe you need to have a plan B, and just tough guys not going to work. And, you know, the Iranians don't care how what Trump thinks about how tough he is. Mm-mm. And they're bad people, by the way, the leadership, not the people of Iran. The leadership of Iran are bad people. They're dishonest people and they're lying people. They do need to be held to account on all of that. But I don't know. I just don't know what good the move is yesterday. I don't know how that helps us.
I don't either. And for the response to so quickly be, well, we can enrich uranium at a higher quantity than before.
Yeah. And you know, we know quicker. They were lying, you know, whatever that move by Bibi Netanyahu was last week. In the end, we know that he's not completely wrong about it either. So, yeah, they need to be watched. But the deal, if you have a bad deal, isn't it better to make the bad deal better than to go screw the deal? Because you had a deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the word deal anymore. No. I'm going to move on to the next item. Actually, let's do this one. We don't know if any of this is true. That's the preface to this. But we know yesterday afternoon, the biggest story in the world was Donald Trump pulls out of the Iranian deal. That's a big story. That's something that deserves to be focused on. By 7 o'clock last night, all of that was gone. And for the rest of the evening, the story was back to Russia, Michael Cohen, and this Michael Avenatti guy. Now, Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, has gone from an impressive, tough advocate for his client to a TV whore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on CNN last night with Anderson Cooper, and Anderson Cooper asked him why he's on TV so much. And I like Anderson.
Yeah.
I've known him for a long time. I would never put a guest on this show and ask the guest why he's here.
Exactly.
If you book a guest, I don't think you look the guest in the eye and go, oh, you're doing a lot of TV.
Right.
Yeah, you asked. I'm here.
That was odd.
Now, he was supposed to be on CNN's morning show today, and apparently he canceled. The deal is this. Avenatti released evidence last night. Then, and this is hard to follow, but try to keep up because it'll give me a headache as I tell the story again. There's a Russian oligarch. An oligarch is a really rich guy. The billionaires of Russia are all sanctioned by Vladimir Putin, believed by many who should know to be the richest man in the world because Vladimir Putin gets a piece of all the billionaires' money. All the companies in Russia that are successful, all those kickbacks go to Vladimir Putin and his inner circle. So Vladimir Putin sanctions this particular oligarch. The oligarch, in turn, has a cousin here in the United States. So the oligarch and the cousin are in what I like to call cahoots. And I don't know if you know where cahoots is, but it's not a great town. So the oligarch is sending money to the United States, including large chunks of money, ostensibly to be given to the campaign committee and the inaugural committee for Donald Trump. Those dollars need to be accounted for, and that needs to be explained. Keep in mind, he's Russian. He's tied to Putin. He's paying stuff to Donald Trump. The bare minimum, the optics really suck. Michael Cohen, meanwhile, still tried to explain through Rudy Giuliani and other people babbling in the street where his $130,000 came from, how it was paid back to him. He got money from the Russian cousin side, ostensibly for real estate developments, so he could go out and invest in real estate. But there's also an odd pattern of how much those deposits were. There's a $100,000 mark that you hit. And if you hit that in any sort of transaction, you have to explain what the money's for in greater detail. It's to avoid fraud. These were under that. So if you had four checks for totaling $399,000, they were all 99 and change or 92 and change. You know what I'm saying? You know, they didn't hit the limit where you had to do the extra paperwork. So it looks shady, like 50 shades of shady. So the guy here is giving the money to Cohen. The Russian cousin is giving the money to Cohen. The Russian cousin here is either lightly or completely involved with getting the campaign money to Trump. Why are Russians funneling money to the then president of the United States in any way, shape or form?
Right.
Now, Avenatti hasn't proved any of this.
Oh, he says he has proof, though. He says he has proof.
But he hasn't,
that pay out money
to this point, proved any of it.
Yeah.
The story went nuts last night. Everybody was running with it. And by the way, not inappropriately so, because that's a story you have to cover. But until it's proven, Michael Avenatti's got some splaining to do.
Big time.
And the onus is on him, not Rudy Giuliani, thank God, or Michael Cohen or Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And this is my headache's back.
Right, and this is a case where you can't say, oh, I have a receipt for that.
Yeah, none of the stuff that Michael Avenatti's put out, though, so far has been wrong, though.
No, it hasn't.
Right.
No, it hasn't. But I think he was wise to not go on CNN this morning. Or I think he needs to take a couple of days off from TV. You know, give us time to miss you. he's on TV more than TV's on TV. That's how much he's on TV.
But can I just say, you did a very, very, very good job.
Well, I gave myself
just explaining all that. Yeah, like a flow chart.
I feel like I'm all cut up now on
that.
And as the Russians turn. A couple more. Next, at Nike, five major top managers are leaving the company after investigation into complaints of harassment and bias. The departures follow six others at the world's largest sports apparel company. And rather than resting at home, Danny Farquhar came to Guaranteed Rate Field last night for an hour-long reunion with teammates 18 days after he nearly died in the dugout.
It's amazing
story.
It's amazing.
And it gets a little better every day.
They said he can't wait to pitch again. So all arrows are pointing up.
And it's really great. A cool story. By the way, I can't wait to pitch again, but I could never pitch in the first place.
No, we know that.
That's your top six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Here comes
the sun. Last thing you want is a wet function. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. The hour-by-hour forecast looks like we're going to be fine.
I'm emailing now.
Mitch Kahn, Medical Cannabis Alliance Vice Chair, CEO of the Greenhouse Group and Grassroots Cannabis in Chicago. Mitch joins us now. He's been on the show before. And Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. Where are we on the House Senate Bill 336?
Well, I think from our understanding, we expect the House to vote on it today. The Senate voted on it about a week and a half ago. Overwhelming support in the Senate. I think 44-6 was the vote. So we're expecting good result out of the House and hoping it will become law shortly.
What do you need people to do to push it along?
Well, I think we need everybody to reach out to their state reps and show their support for a program that is the single best way we have found today to combat the biggest health problem we have in the country today, which is opioid abuse.
Senate Bill 336 would allow patients to use medical cannabis instead of a prescription opioid if receiving a new prescription or if they have an existing prescription. The bill amends the Illinois Compassionate Use of Medical Cannabis Pilot Program and lets doctors limit the length of time a patient can participate in medical cannabis, but it waives fingerprint and background checks and basically makes it much less likely that they're going to fall into an opioid addiction. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right?
No doubt about it, Steve. It provides a much safer, much better option for many patients with serious issues.
Mitch, would this fall under the umbrella of if I know we've covered a couple of stories where children or kids have, they're being treated for various cancers or whatnot, and they want to be able to use the medical marijuana in schools. Will this cover that as well, or is that a whole separate bill?
It's a completely separate issue from this. I think that's been addressed by the courts, and I think will ultimately be addressed by an amendment to the program, but this is a completely separate issue from the children issues.
Illinois is the seventh highest cost in the nation from opioid abuse, almost $1 billion a year. 80% of Illinois drug overdose deaths in 2016, the most recent year statistics are available, were opioid-related fatalities, and between 2013 and 2016, OD deaths increased by more than 70%. Mitch, if we're all grown-ups here, identify a problem, address the problem, fix the problem, or if you can't fix it, at least treat it in a better way. And I feel like that's what's going on here.
Well, we agree, and you know, we've been medical cannabis program has been operating in the state of Illinois for almost 3 years now, and serving about 33,000 or 34,000 patients, which is a good start, but nowhere near the number of people that could be helped if we can expand the program the way it was intended to be.
And again, this gives doctors, this is not dealers, doctors, the option of, instead of throwing an opioid at a patient, to say medical cannabis is an option, we think you ought to try it.
That is correct.
All right. It says Senate Bill 336. And again, Mitch, just contact your representatives, right? Mitch Kahn?
Exactly. Contact your state reps. If you don't know how to do that, contact your local dispensaries. They're certainly happy to help, or contact MCAI, and we can get you in touch with the right folks.
The best way to contact you guys is what?
Through our email, on our website, or you can certainly contact me as well.
All right. What's the website?
The website is...
I had to put you on the spot, didn't I? Look what I did to you.
You kind of did this morning, but it's MCA-IL.com.
MCA-IL.com. All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Mitch Kahn. And again, this has nothing to do with legalizing pot throughout the state, though certainly I'd support that if we regulated it and made money off it. But this is just about medical cannabis, and this is just about a specific circumstance where a doctor could prescribe it instead of saying, here are more opioids.
Exactly right. And we do stories every single day. We did one yesterday on Will County has the highest opioid numbers as far as opioid deaths in the state, and it costs the county coroner $100,000 a year minimum just to investigate these. So
yeah.
Think of the taxpayer money that could be saved.
Right, and $1 billion on opioid abuse. $887 million. It's not hard to round that up. All right, 6:48 now. And Steve, what's coming up at 7?
Another candidate has entered the race, or will enter the race for mayor this week. We'll have the story at 7 o'clock from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Hey, Mary Vandeveld, you know who's coming in after 7?
I do believe I do.
David Kaplan will be live in studio. What, did he get fired again? Has he been thrown off another station?
No.
Well, what's he doing?
Well, because he's being inducted into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame next
week.
That's
very generous of us. He's a competitor, isn't he?
I think that's we're all brethren in this business.
He was here for a long time.
I meant brethren and sister.
We're all family.
Right.
We're not competitors.
Oh, I am. No, I love Cap. Cap will be here in a little while.
I want to see the suit he has on.
Cap's awesome.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
People ask me, they say, Steve. And I say, what? They say, Steve, do you really spend your money on the things that you pump on the show, the things that you promote, the things you hype? And I say, yes, I do. I buy those appliances. I paid for the family room and the kitchen to be redone.
You did? Right.
Right? See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. But, you know, when there's quality partners to the show, we want to make sure you know about them. That's all. Somebody texted in and said, how can President Trump pull out of the deal with Iran? Congress was supposed to oversee him. Congress was supposed to watch him. Barack Obama started the problem. This was not a congressional approved treaty. And because it was not a treaty, the Obama folks knew that the next president with a stroke of a pen could end it. And that's what Trump did yesterday. So that's why. That's why Congress has no sway over this. One other word before we take the break to get to the news. This Michael Avenatti thing. The other thing that bothers me about Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney, is I rarely hear him talking about Stormy Daniels. I hear him talking about himself, and I hear him talking, obviously, about Trump and about Cohen. And maybe that's the agreement between the client and the attorney. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be nice to occasionally hear him say, in the best interest of my client, I'm doing this or that.
Mm-hmm. Make a reference, at least, yeah.
Yeah. I like the fact that he's a bulldog, and I like the fact that he's going hard after guys that I consider to be unbelievably shady and damaging and dangerous. But he's gotten annoying.
And very quickly, too.
But isn't Michael Cohen at the center of the case with Stormy Daniels, and that's the whole reason why that case even exists, pretty much?
Oh, yeah. It's the only reason you know who Michael Avenatti is. But have you ever seen an attorney, and I'm talking about a television attorney, talk less about their client? I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And by the way, Stormy Daniels, this is a stretch, too. And if it means that the bad guys are gotten, I'm fine with it. But Stormy Daniels, listen, it's her chosen profession. That's fine with me. But she's not a victim. And she engaged in sex with Donald Trump. She knew he was married. Mm-hmm. And she signed an NDA, and she wanted to blow up the NDA. That's the genesis of all of this. And if it ends up taking down the president because we find out he was money laundering, well, so be it. But this is a whole lot. It reminds me sort of, remember we used to talk about House of Cards, or you watch House of Cards, and you go, I don't like anybody.
No, that's true. We would say that.
Yeah, you go, I don't like anybody on this show. Or occasionally you see a movie or a different TV show where you go, I'm just looking for one likable character.
Exactly.
The more coverage of this that I see, I'm looking for somebody I can like.
So is the irony that the one likable character on House of Cards was the prostitute?
Yeah.
And then she died?
It came full circle, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
658, the other seedy little case that's out there is the former attorney general for the state of New York may have other women coming forward saying he was violent to them as well, and he may now face criminal charges. All right, we're going to go shower off the first hour of news, and then we're going to come back. And Cap will be here in a few minutes to talk about his honor of being inducted into the Walk of Fame next week.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Dog? What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo? Dog? Buttercup? Romeo? Buttercup?
Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
Well, look who finally came to his senses and came home.
Nice to
prodigal,
see all of you.
The prodigal Cap, as he wandered the streets, has finally found his way home. You know, Cap, you probably don't know this, but when we decide who goes into the Walk of Fame, there's secret meetings. You go in this hooded garb, and you talk for a long time. There could be some pharmaceuticals involved. And eventually, multicolored smoke rises from the chimney, and the names are revealed. You're in, baby.
Well, it's pretty
funny.
You're
in the Walk of Fame.
I was on it's great to be with you guys. I was on vacation, and I got this phone call from Todd Manley, the great station manager. Call me back. I got to talk to you. I call him back and get voicemail. Calls me back. I'm here with Dave Ennett, and I don't know if you know, we got the White Sox games, and we'd like to know if you'd like to be the voice of the team. And I said, yeah, you're a funny guy.
Right.
And then he told me the great news.
That's funny.
I pretty awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So let's go backwards here. How'd you get the job at GM?
I got hired in 1995. I was at the Cubs convention meeting with Tom Brenneman, who was my basketball play-by-play partner.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman walked up to talk to Tom, and he goes, well, meet my friend, David Kaplan. And so I meet Tisa Lasort, the greatest. Absolutely adore that woman. And she said, oh, you're over at AM 1000.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in talking to me about my sports job because Chuck Swirsky just left? I said, absolutely. WGN, I grew up listening to the station.
Right. I will screw AM 1000 in a New York minute for the right job.
Out. And so I interviewed with her the next week, and like 6 weeks later, I got this phone call, and I got hired, and I was there.
By the way, Swirsky's going to be in studio next week. Here's the thing about GN, and you know this, because when we were all competing with WGN through most of the 90s, it was like, ugh. The old people station. Oh, they're so backward. GN was so far ahead of the curve in promoting women into management positions. And Tisa was one of them. Lorna Gladstone. Mm-hmm. Mary June Rose.
Marilyn Miller.
And Marilyn Miller before all of them when she was Wally's producer.
Yep.
All right. So you get hired. When did you team up with Tom Waddle?
1997, the great Dave Ennett and Mary June Rose said, all right, we're going to do a sports talk show. And they had at that time.
Hey, what was on a night before that?
What was it? Roy Leonard.
The
late Roy Leonard was doing nights. He was doing like a split shift. And the great Dave Ennett had to go meet with Andy McPhail. You and Mary June had to talk to Andy McPhail to make sure the Cubs were cool with sports talk.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you've been to a lot of meetings.
And Andy had to give his blessing. Yeah.
So you and Waddle hit pretty fast.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
Tommy's
okay, first of all, neither of them wanted to work with each other.
Is that true?
Let's just put that out there.
Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't want to work with Waddle?
No, I did. Well, I don't know if Waddle wanted to work with me. I was this...
you were lukewarm.
This renegade.
Well, why wouldn't you want to work with Waddle?
I didn't.
You just didn't want to do a team show?
No, I didn't have any problem
because,
with
because
I
your
think
ego?
He's making that up.
So wait, that's not true then.
I loved Tom Waddle.
Yeah.
No. No, they were great.
But it took to get to know each other.
At first we tried out some different people and just kind of those guys hit it off.
Right.
So it made sense.
It worked. And the funny thing is, so when I was first at AM 1000, I wanted Dave Wannstedt to come on my show. I was working 11 at night till 2 in the morning and then I got moved to middays. And at 11 at night, I thought, I got to get Dave Wannstedt on this show. And I called Brian Harlan. Love Brian. Mm-hmm. He's a big agent now, but he was the PR director of the Bears at the time.
Right.
Brian, can I get Dave Wannstedt? No chance. No shot. Not going to happen. I'm like, come on, man. It's 11 o'clock. There's this big article. He sleeps in the office. Just have him call in. No. So I'm like, screw this. I'm going to drive up to Lake Forest myself. I drive up as I'm coming into town. There's Dave Wannstedt on his walk every day at 12:30. So I pull my car over, and I literally accost him on the street. Coach, you got to come on my show, man. I'll make you look good, blah, 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 blah. I get back. He goes and rats me out to Brian Harlan, who airs me out. Tisa, doing her due diligence before she hired me, calls the Cubs. Do you have any problems with David Kaplan? No. White Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks. Calls
Bears,
Brian Harlan.
Not so much.
Brian Harlan goes, you cannot hire him. He completely went behind my back after I told him no. And she said, God bless her. That means I'm going to hire him.
Right. Right.
And then I had to go to lunch with him and clear the air, and now we'll get along.
Well, but here's the deal. We have had this for a long time, and you remember these days, where people would go, oh, the Cubs tell you guys what to say.
Never.
Never happened. Never happened. The Cubs, when the Bears were on this station, the Northwestern folks, nobody gives you editorial content on this station.
Never.
Never has, never will.
22 years.
So, all right, I want you to give me a few of your favorite moments when we come back. One of mine, of course, was the Mancathlon.
Yes.
Where Cap and I had 10 events to prove how manly we were.
One of them was driving back from Kemper Lakes Golf Course. Who could get here faster?
As fast as we
Mary
could.
Mary Jo was going to have a stroke.
I remember one who it was.
You guys were calling drinking, in. We did it live on
you
air.
You guys were drinking as much water as you possibly could.
That was
could.
With Spike.
No, that was us.
Did
pal.
We do that too?
No, that was us.
Like how much water you could drink before.
And then some lady in Michigan on the air died from it. And they went, that's it.
That was a terrible idea.
Like, see, try that today.
No shot.
And it's typical of this place.
Oh.
You walk out of the studio here in the famous bathroom outside of which I was fired once.
I remember that day.
Yeah. I walk out, and we had both consumed literally about 20 bottles of water. Mm-hmm. You caved first. God bless you. And you ran. So you're across the newsroom. You used to have to go all the way to the back of the tower and cross the newsroom to get into these bathrooms. But there's a bathroom right here outside the Showcase studio. 20 bottles of water later, I walk out. Somebody's in there reading a paper.
That was unbelievable.
Not good, David Kemp.
I set the smoke detector off, and now the alarm system went off.
I'll tell you what. This is going to keep you from the Food Network show you're clearly auditioning for.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
That was for a period of time before the geniuses in management somewhere told Cap he couldn't come on this show anymore. When I was readily, as your friend, promoting your own other radio show and had you on talking sports every day.
No question about it.
So,
no doubt.
David Kaplan, NBC Sportsnet, every night at what time?
Usually 6 o'clock to 7, unless we have a game, then 6 to 7, 6 to 6:30.
Cough button.
Cough button. Thank you.
I know you're new to studios. And on the radio, what time?
9 to noon on ESPN 1000.
And what time? When do you have the famous husband of Mary Sandberg?
He is on with me every Monday and most Thursdays. And
that's Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago.
Okay.
The Blackhawks star.
At 7:25, I always give everybody a chance to go around the room and talk to the people that are going in, including your fellow inductee, Mary Vandeveld. You got a Cap memory you want to throw at him, or did you just want to congratulate
Mary,
him?
Congratulations to you. You're the greatest.
Oh, you are too. I'm so excited we're going to be up there together.
Yeah, look forward to it.
It's very fun. So what did you do when the Cubs were in that losing streak? Weren't you in a trailer or something?
Yes, they were 0-14. So at 0-6, I went to Mary June Rose and Randy Eccles. I said, hey, I got an idea here. Why don't I take the WGN fan van up to Wrigley, park it in the McDonald's parking lot, and live in the van till they win a game?
This is so not the way it happened.
Yeah, give me the truth. What happened?
I get a call from Cap. It's about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, yeah, they were probably 0-6 or whatever.
They were 0-6.
And he says, I think I just made a big mistake. I just said on the air I would live in the fan van until the Cubs win. I said, do you think there's any way out of it? I said, I don't think so, Cap. You just said it on the air.
And that's how and you ended up
and
on
then
it.
I went to Waddle. I said, okay, we're moving. We're taking the fan van up there, and we're going to live in it till they win. And he said, you're going to do what?
Yeah, he went home.
Yeah, 8 days later, I was still in the van.
And they won on the 15th game.
They finally were 0-14 and they won their 15th.
Where did you shower?
A friend of mine owned a rooftop building, so I took like 3 showers a day because I had nothing to do.
The best was he was on the Tom Snyder Tomorrow Show. I'll never forget that, right?
That's right.
They that's right. The redo of this
live from the parking lot at the McDonald's, and they hired a model to deliver steak and lobster to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Apt brought a TV. ComEd wired it into one of the light poles. And then Walter E. Smith brought me an Oriental rug and a recliner.
And you just sat in there all day waiting for the show to start.
That was it.
Good times. Andrea, you worked with this guy for a while.
I did. I worked with Cap from 97 to 05 on
that?
Sports Central doing
crazy.
Your news. We had so much fun. My favorites, Dr. Stupid, Theme Sports, and Ear Candy Corner.
Ear Candy Corner was the greatest. I got to bring that bit back. It was so amazing. Well,
that's
that
intellectual property of WGN.
Yeah, you have to change the name of it.
Real quick story. The funniest. I have never. We were talking about this off the air. I've never seen you angry ever. You're always so happy. Just that one time, which we won't talk about. But no. We had so much fun. So I was at like a church rummage sale when I first started with you guys, and this woman came up to me with a brown paper bag, and inside was an old Tom Waddle jersey. It was all bundled up in a ball. Remember this?
Yeah, I do.
So I showed you, and you're like, oh, you got to give that to Waddle on the air. She wanted him to sign it. So he said, where'd you find this? It was just this old, crumpled up jersey. And I said, like, at the church rummage sale, this lady said she bought it for $2. And you said, she got ripped off.
Yeah, she got overpaid.
She overpaid. We had so much fun, Cap. I love you, and it's just always been a pleasure working with you.
You too.
All right, so Dave, you've kind of been fact-checking Cap throughout his story time here. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I just, as we get ready to leave this building here in a few weeks, my fondest memories, and I use that term loosely, walking into the sports office in the morning down the hall here, which sure. Now Howls and Hoods,
yeah,
and I would come in there, and Cap and Waddle and whoever was producing the show at the time, they would play this game they invented called Office Ball.
Oh, yes. Right.
Which,
yes.
Which basically was baseball in a, what, about a 12 by 12 foot area.
With a real bat and then crumpled up newspaper with duct tape around it, gray duct tape.
And fast pitch.
And fast pitch.
Uh-huh. We had to put, they found a clock. I think Dave Marzullo found it. Like you would find in an old high school gym.
Yep.
With
click,
a
click, click.
And a wire
with the metal
around
the cage on it.
Yeah.
Because we shattered the clock.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It broke everything in the office.
And right. Then he didn't even tell you. Waddle and I one night came in. His door wasn't locked. He had this little office. So we rearranged all the furniture. I mean, the entire office. And he opened the door in the morning and went, whoa!
Hey, you remember the kidnapping of Buddy Big League?
Yes.
You kids keep in mind, this is how you prep for a major sports career.
Right, right.
I love you, buddy. You know,
I love you.
And I couldn't be more excited for your success, and your family's great, and I hope they all show up next Friday when we do this.
We look forward to all being there. Dan Filato is flying in from New York.
Oh, that's great.
God. Really? The stories with that's you great. And Filato.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So,
yeah. Did he work times. Here? Or we use the term work loosely, right?
Very loosely.
Yeah, Flotto was here.
Hey, but Flotto
saw Mark Grace do things that Grace wasn't even charged with.
Look, almost
Jewel and Treasure Island in business.
He did. Almost 22 years, some of the greatest memories of my life are right here with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We're going to have fun next week, too.
Look forward to it.
Best of the family, and reconsider that Grand Canyon trip you have coming up.
Yeah, rim to rim, we're going to hike. My wife and I, 2 weeks from Monday.
Nice.
I just don't think a guy 6 months older than me should kill himself in the Grand Canyon on a vacation. I'm just worried about you, that's all.
I thought you were older than me.
Oh, yeah, see, that's part of the problem. You're slipping. The great David Kaplan in the Walk of Fame. Next Friday, we do the induction, and enjoy the rest of your day, buddy.
You too. Love you.
All right, coming up on 7:30. Love you back. And let's see, we got headlines. That'll be next on 720 WGN.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
July 11th through the 15th at the beautiful Exmoor Country Club. It is the Senior Players Championship, the Constellation Senior Players Championship. Scott McCarron getting ready to play the Players this week, the unofficial fifth major, joins us now as the defending champ of the Constellation. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Just getting ready for a little golf tournament up here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah. How long is that plan this week?
I mean, yardage-wise?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not playing as long as you would think. This is a golf course that anybody can win in. You don't have to be a long hitter. You can be a short hitter, straight hitter. All kinds of different players have won here. So this is a golf course that, you know, length is not a huge advantage here.
And unless
I feel I have a good chance to compete.
And unless they've changed it, it's limited real estate. You can only put the tee boxes so far before they start going in the parking lot.
Well, again, I think keeping the golf course a little shorter actually makes it a little trickier because you got to work the ball off the tee.
Yeah.
You have to play it in the right position. You can't just get up there and bang driver everywhere you go.
Scott McCarron, defending champ at the Constellation. You know, Exmoor, I love Exmoor, and looking forward to seeing you. I've got the distinct honor of being able to be the MC at the players or at the pairings party. So it's going to be a great event.
It is going to be a great event. You know, Chicago is such a great golf area. I have so many fond memories going to play the Western Open there all those years. So many fans come out to watch us, so I hope we get some great crowds to come out there to Exmoor. I hear Exmoor is just a fantastic old-style golf course, and so looking forward to playing.
Yeah, and by the way, the PGA Tour does on all branches great charitable stuff as well. Let me get Christina Gregory in here for a second before she has to go back to work. Christina, how are you?
Hey. Good. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Explain what happens through the charitable side of this.
You know, part of the Constellation Senior Players Championship. When we go to new cities, we're able to provide charity opportunities. You know, since 1992, we've generated more than $11 million for charity. So when we come to Chicago, we've pledged over $500,000 to 5 charities in the Chicagoland area. So we're very excited about the charity effort when we bring the tournaments there and really participate in the cities.
And talk to the commissioner. Scott, you guys too. Let's get some more tournaments in Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many great golf courses in Chicago. My golf teacher, E.A. Tischler, is up at Oakland Hills, and I was there announcing the U.S. Amateur there for Fox 2 years ago. Wonderful golf courses, and yes, we got to get a PGA Tour event back in Chicago area.
And Christina, as VP of Brand Marketing, you know, this is a big deal. The senior players is a big deal, and we want to see good crowds.
We're so excited to bring the crowds and the fans out. I mean, clearly with Constellation out there, our parent company, Exelon and ComEd, we've got a lot of employees and fans in the community, and we want to bring everyone to see some legends of golf. I mean, this is really where you can see great golf, get close to the players, and have a wonderful day. We're looking forward to it.
Well, I appreciate all the help you're doing here, Christina, and all the good work you guys do all the time as well at the Constellation Senior Players. Scott McCarron, you still carry around the SpongeBob SquarePants gift from your kids?
No. You know, my kids are now 20 and 22. They don't watch much SpongeBob SquarePants anymore. So
right.
That was a long time when they were little kids that I carried around for a little bit as a good luck charm, but not anymore.
And for you golfers that don't know this, I've had one hole in one, and nobody was playing with me. Yeah. Okay. How much crap do you think I've taken about that?
We believe you, Steve.
Yeah, we trust you.
Yeah, like a Scott McCarron doesn't even believe me.
No, that doesn't count.
So here's the deal. If I know my stats correctly or my history correctly, you had 2 in one round.
Yeah, I did, and I was actually playing with other people. So,
oh, that hurts on a lot of levels.
Sorry, Steve. I did, and those were my first 2 hole-in-ones I ever had. I had them in the same round in a pro tournament up in Oakland, California. So it was quite a thrill to get your first 2 in the same round.
And have you had 3 and 4 and so on?
I've had about 13. I'm kind of stuck at 13
that?
Now. I'm about
God.
Ready to get another one here soon.
I'd like 1.
Dave, say hi to Scott McCarron.
Hey, Scott, good morning. How much buzz have these pairings created for the Players' Championship with Tiger and Phil playing together and McIlroy and Spieth and Justin Thomas together in a group?
Well, I think it does create some buzz. I think when you put out tee times like that with Tiger, Phil, and Ricky Fowler all playing together, you know, the fans start planning their day. Who are they going to watch? Because that's going to be a great group to watch. A lot of fireworks there, a lot of birdies. Should be a lot of fun. And then to have Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth playing together, it should be a lot of fun. I mean, that's something that if I was a golf fan, I'd go out and watch those groups.
Yeah, TPC Sawgrass is a great fans' course because the tour built the course and they built it with the you know, the crowds in mind as well. Great holes, great golf course, and a great place to watch.
Well, it really is. It's the first of its kind stadium golf. I mean, so the fans have great views no matter what hole they're on. It really is incredible. This golf course is in the best shape I've ever seen Sawgrass in. And it's going to be great weather all week and should be a wonderful championship.
You had a very nice year last year. I think, what, you won 4 times?
I did. I won 4 times last year with the major being at Kays Valley, the Constellation Senior Players. It was a great year. I lost a playoff a couple seconds, but I was chasing down, you know, our leader, Bernard Langer, who ended up winning 7 times last year. He's playing some great golf at 61 years old.
He's ridiculous.
He is unbelievable. He is certainly the guy that I'm trying to pattern my career off now on the Champions Tour, in that he works harder than everybody. He does his homework and stays in shape, and the guy's playing some of the best golf of his life.
Well, you're a kid on the Tour Champions, but you're the old guy this week at the Players. So how you feeling? How you hitting it?
You know, it's funny. I'm the oldest player here, so I got that going for me. But I'm hitting it good. I played with a couple of young kids in practice rounds. Austin Cook, who won at Sea Pines earlier last year, and then CT Pan, played a few holes with him, and Cameron Smith. I mean, all these kids, I could be their dad, but you know, getting out there and playing with them, the golf ball does not know how old you are.
That's
so
right.
I feel like I'm playing as good as I ever did. And certainly if I play well, you know, I'll be up there somewhere if I have a good week. But, you know, I enjoy playing the Champions Tour, and I'm really looking forward to coming to Exmoor and playing in Chicago at the Senior Players.
You're going to love it. Exmoor Country Club. It's the week of July 9th through the 15th, 9th and 10th pro-ams and practice, and then the 11th through the 15th is the event. And I look forward to seeing you then, Scott. But I appreciate you jumping on, and good luck this week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Scott McCarron, one of the nicer guys on tour.
Yes.
There's a lot of nice guys on tour. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what we'll do. We will link the podcast with information on how to get tickets. Mm-hmm. So we'll hook you up with the website. You can go to PGAtour.com anytime. And when you go to PGAtour.com, you can link through and get tickets right there. But it's going to be fun.
A really good point that Christina brought up, too, which you guys talked about in the middle of that interview, that Constellation's going to donate $500,000 to local Chicago charities, which is very, very generous.
And our friends at the Western Golf Association are beneficiaries from all the great events that go on in town. And, of course, they're good friends of the show as well, Vince and everybody over there. So, Exmoor Country Club. Get your tickets. The Constellation Senior Players, the best seniors on tour, will be here July 9th through the 15th. How cool would it be if Scott McCarron made a run this week? He's 52 now. Or as I like to call him, young.
A kid.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be.
He still hits it about 300.
Well, who doesn't?
No, I don't mean in two shots. I mean, he does it in one.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave Ennett insists that this song play whenever he walks into a room. Bring it sexy back. Mm-hmm. Lester Holt just walked by the window. Why didn't Lester come in and see us?
Did he?
Did he really?
Yeah, NBC
he's in town. Yeah,
NBC Nightly News is in town. They're doing this said, huh? Across America segment where he goes to major cities and
talks to
the regulars. I think I got the cool guy nod. He used to bring. What's the name of his son, Stefan?
Stefan. Yeah, Stefan's awesome.
Stefan had a funny story. Stefan on Twitter last night, apparently driving, minding his own business in New York, and a guy thought he was an Uber and got into his car.
No.
Yeah. But anyway, when Stefan was a little kid, Lester would bring him into the show I was doing at the time when Lester was at Channel 2.
Oh, my gosh. You know what, though? Stefan, maybe they thought it was the wrong son because mm-hmm. Ponce's son mm-hmm. was driving an Uber for a while, or a Lyft. So maybe it was the wrong.
You're always trying to look on the bright side, aren't you?
I know.
My sister gets in the wrong car all the time. She gets in cars that aren't Ubers all the time.
Because she's not paying attention?
Yeah, or it looks like, some of those sedans look similar, even though they're different makes. And she just gets in and they look at her. And
don't people lock their doors when they're driving, though?
Like, I guess not. I don't know.
Most cars have automatic locks, don't they?
Yeah.
I, of course, have my manservant lock all of my doors while I'm driving.
White light.
Steve, you were talking about television. I just, yesterday when I called you, because we check in every day, and you said something I found funny. Steve said, well, I'm not sure if we know if you're watching this, but on MSNBC right now, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, I am not watching MSNBC right now. Like, I never have the TV on during the day. And I don't watch the news. So it was just funny.
It's stuck.
Light watching.
I can't walk into a room without turning on a TV and annoying myself.
Yeah, like it was like he's put himself in a bad mood. Not sure if you're watching right now. No, I am not watching.
The Western Golf Association, I mentioned that. Could you link this up as well for the Evans Scholars?
Absolutely.
WGA, Western Golf Association, Evans Scholars Foundation. ESF, WGAESF.org.
Okay.
So, and the Scott McCarron interview will go up relatively soon.
Doc Most is our favorite Evans Scholar, right?
He is?
Yes.
Yeah, Doc Most.
Isn't Brad Most also an Evans Scholar?
He is.
But we like Doc Kevin better.
Well, we're trying to rank our Mosts.
Yeah.
Yes. We're trying to figure out what to get the royal couple to be for the wedding. I got a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon that we could use. It turns out they're not registered at Target or Bed Bath & Beyond.
No.
Which I was surprised to see.
Where are they registered?
I think.
Harrods?
Crate & Barrel?
Tiffany.
Oh, Tiffany? I bet Tiffany, yeah. Harrods, I bet for sure, because that's the big department store.
I'm pretty sure they're not registered.
I hope they're not registered at Carson's. That would be a problem.
Yeah. Toys R Us?
Toys R Us, yes.
Oh.
This is a list, though, from Mental Floss. You know, the list of the day?
Mm-hmm.
A list from Mental Floss on wacky gifts royal couples have received for their weddings. Did you know that Wills and Kate got a tandem bike?
Did they really?
We had London and see them riding around on their bicycle built for two.
You know what's funny, though? The people who give the gifts, it's like the queen, the king and queen of Spain have given
these
a butter dish.
Yeah, these are VIP gifts. They came from various people. Somebody gave them a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, my. That's a very personalized gift.
Yeah. They got a Land Rover 110 utility wagon. Did the Royals have any limits on what they can keep? You know, because they're funded by the British government.
But politicians
here have to allegedly declare what they're doing.
Like gifts over, $1,000.
Yeah. Prince Carl Philip of Sweden and his wife Sophia gave their, this is royal couples around the world, they received, I should say, a kayak as one of their gifts.
Oh, God. That's funny.
I just wonder the conversation where you go, the royal couple, we have to get them something. Yeah. How about a kayak? a tennis court was a gift given to the crown prince and his wife in, they're the Danish royals.
Okay. That's a cool gift.
Yeah, I'd say so.
A tennis court?
This is one that probably wasn't so well received. Philippe, Prince of Asturias, now King Philippe VI of Spain, married Letizia Ortiz Roca Solano back in 2004. And the people of Austria sent them a gigantic jigsaw puzzle of Austria.
No. Okay, I'd probably...
And they're still working on it to this day.
Is there like a gift receipt that comes with it?
You would think, right? And one more. When the eldest daughter, a daughter of the Sultan of Brunei, Princess Rashida, married Pengiran Anik Abdul Rahim Pengrian Kemaluddin in 1996.
How do you spell that one?
Just like it sounds.
Can you imagine that on a vanity plate?
Yeah.
Or on the back of a basketball shirt.
They got a private concert from Whitney Houston.
Oh, see, that's cool.
Yeah, that was back in 1996.
That's what I would want.
So there you go. A couple of things.
Concert.
We try to figure out again. Bed Bath & Beyond, no. Target, no. Crate & Barrel, no. We'll come back after 8 o'clock. Dean's with us. Oh, and there's a rumor the president may call this morning.
Uh-oh.
I'm hearing it. I don't know if it's true. Rocon later as well. It's 7:59, almost 8 o'clock. News next, 720 WGN.
Meteorologist Tim McGill has been watching thunderstorms roll through the Chicago area. Tim?
Showers and thunderstorms moving on through over the next hour or so. We'll get a bit of a lull, I think. And then later this afternoon towards this evening, around 4 or 5 o'clock, some more strong storms could fire up. These could produce some hail and some damaging gusty winds. So we do have a risk for maybe some severe weather late this afternoon.
What I hear you saying, my friend.
Yes, what do you hear me saying?
Is that if you have a noon event today, mm-hmm. say on a rooftop,
yeah,
in Chicago, you're probably okay.
You're probably okay, yeah. You might even see a little bit of sun breakthrough.
Sunblock?
You want to use that every day.
Top of my head?
My dermatologist would be happy to hear me say that. You definitely on the top of your head.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Sure, no problem.
All right. I'm Steve Grzanich in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live.
You think they have a sunblock toupee?
You know, if they don't, that's a wonderful idea because
I never
thought of all the trouble it would save you.
I never, ever, 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 ever even considered a toupee because, I've never seen one that I'm fooled by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if they had a sunblock toupee, you know, if I could just slap some hair on my head and be sun protected.
It's like win-win-win.
They have those hats you can put on your head that have the a propeller on them and also an umbrella.
Oh, now that's silly. I bring up a legitimate science idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What do you do your goodbye.
Yeah, that's the news. I'm Steve Grzanich, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
It's our friend Dean Richards, and we're live in downtown Chicago, beautiful downtown Chicago, where the sun, Dean, is peeking through a blue and gray sky.
It's about as dark and ugly as it could be here on the northwest side of Chicago.
Well, that's mostly because of the mood of the morning show.
That's true.
But
Steve, by the way, I've got a whole drawer full of toupees and wigs if you'd like to try them. We mostly use them for jokes here mm-hmm. on the morning show, just mm-hmm. for fun.
Well, you know, I'm a golfer, and I just thought if I could find...
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played golf without a hat in I don't know how many years.
Very smart.
But if I could find a toupee with sun protection, woo, yeah. Woo, that's living.
What about golf hat with strands of hair sticking out of the sides of the hat?
Oh, that's it. Again, you're like Krasanich. You're not taking me seriously.
No,
with my incredibly serious toupee sunblock idea.
Mine is a combo of both toupee and hat.
The beauty of the propeller thing, too, is once it gets going, it's like air conditioning.
Ah! You know what? I take back my criticism.
I don't know about the propeller or the...
He's just trying to make us look silly here on Moron Entertainment.
Or the beer can that's strapped to the side of the toupee with a tube that comes down. So
the straws on either side?
You could sip some old style while you wear your toupee.
I think what we're saying here is four letters, and that's sexy.
Just make sure that toupee isn't flammable.
You talking about the Ron Santo fire?
Yeah, but you know, there's lightning on golf courses.
I think we remember the great Ron Santo toupee fire.
Yeah. Your disaster. One April Fool's Day many years ago, we just for a joke, we actually went, I actually went to a toupee store.
Just for a joke.
Well, and said, you know, I want a legit toupee, because usually the toupees that I wear on the show, the wigs, are obviously joke toupees, and we make fun of it. But I said, I want one that really, like, it looks like I'm serious about
it. Fit me up, baby.
And I'm not going to say anything to anyone. I'm not going to, I was just curious how people were going to react. Nobody said boo, like, oh, suddenly you have a full head of hair. But I could see when people were talking to me, their eyes were darting up and looking not at my eyes, but at the monstrosity that was on my head. And I wore it all day. Nobody said a word to me all day.
Well, what an interesting human study, right? Yeah. To go, oh my God, did you see Dean?
Yeah, Dean's got an ugly toupee. Don't say anything.
Don't refer to it. He may not know it's on his head.
It might be a bird that landed on his head. We're not sure.
Have you ever seen one that works?
Occasionally, there's...
I guess you wouldn't know, right? Yeah. If it was really good, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, occasionally you see one that's, you know, you're surprised when you find out that it's toupee. But normally you could tell instantly.
I guess of celebrity toupees back in the day, maybe Burt Reynolds?
He had a good one.
Yeah.
He had a good one. Tony Bennett's got a good one.
That's a toupee?
Tony Bennett? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that is a good one then. I guess I should have realized it's probably...
Well, I'm still not going to do it. You know, this is like my rule about parties. Invite me, but I'm never going to show up. I just want to be invited. Toupees. I'll talk about it, but I'm never going to wear one.
The times that I've had them on for a joke, I'm good for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, get this thing off of me.
I was going to say, does it itch?
It has to, I would think.
It's hot. It itches. It's just the whole thing is...
Yeah.
Just cut your hair off. Shave it off.
Buzz it. That's it. There's a Chicago Outdoor Film Series announcement today. Taylor Swift and Katy Perry are done fighting. Who's making the most money being an actor? Roman Polanski is in the news today. Well, that can't be good. Do we have enough Bill and Ted movies? No, I say we don't.
Nope.
And all of those are coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 97.
All right, back to Dean, live from Channel 9. And
The technical mishaps during the show, it allows me a little more time to do some projects. I ordered some mini blinds.
Oh, that's fantastic.
During that last break.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. The Chicago Outdoor Film Series. Andrea, you hype this every year.
Oh,
you're a big fan.
Absolutely love it.
They've announced the movies now, Dean?
They have. Just announced a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact. The films that will kick off the season, the first one will be Hairspray, the original Hairspray, which I thought was the superior one, directed by John Waters. Ricky Lake starred in it, Divine, Sonny Bono, Deborah Harry, Jerry Stiller was in the movie as well. Lots of big names in that. So that's going to be June the 5th. And then after that... The list goes like this. It's going to be Mad Max.
Okay.
After that, Mad Max Fury Road, Kinky Boots, Groundhog Day, High Fidelity, Iron Giant, Man on a Wire. This is going to be a double feature, which is an odd combination of movies on July 31st. WALL-E, remember the Pixar movie?
Sure.
And Crash.
That is weird.
Right?
You know, last year they did
that
like...
Weird?
That's bizarre.
Last year they did, I think, Silence of the Lambs Thelma and Louise.
I guess I didn't pay attention to the list last year. This is a very eclectic, weird combination of movies.
Isn't Man on a Wire... Wasn't it Mel Gibson circa like 1980?
I think so.
Man on a Wire, I believe, was a fairly new movie, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I'm thinking of Bird on a Wire. Forget it.
But here's a couple of huge standouts. The Academy Award winning Get Out is going to be on July the 24th. That'll be awesome. Coco, also Academy Award winning, will be on August the 14th. School of Rock is in there. Slumdog Millionaire. You can take a look at the City of Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs website to get more info on.
But if you're looking for a beautiful night to spend in the city, where at the end of the night you'll go, well, why the hell did they put those two movies together? Definitely go when they do Wall-E, I should say.
Yeah. Wall-E and Crash.
And Crash.
Yeah.
A bizarre pairing.
Very weird.
And it's nice. You can either sit in the pavilion or you bring a blanket and, you know, a picnic basket or whatever and sit on the lawn.
The blanket is the makeout territory, you know, so if you're looking for that, right. That's where you go.
Yeah, it gets a little steamy sometimes back on the grass.
So, all right. Also, Taylor Swift and Katy Perry, A Restless Nation Can Breathe Easier.
Steve,
peace has come.
Do you think this North Korean story is big, or, you know, the Iran?
Well, that's where Mike Pompeo flew back from. Mike Pompeo came back so he could do this one as well.
He has negotiated not only bringing back the three hostages, but apparently has negotiated a settlement between Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. Their public feud has been going on since 2012, and much like North Korea, the fight has been about who stole my backup dancers. That was the subject. Taylor was accusing Katy of stealing three of her backup dancers, just like Kim Jong-un did.
Don't they have a backup dancer no-compete clause?
Apparently
don't they have
not.
Don't they have a no-dance clause?
Apparently not. Apparently the dancers can come and go as they please. Taylor Swift wrote a song about Katy Perry, Bad Blood, just like Kim Jong-un did. Katy Perry.
Practically the same story.
Yeah. Katy Perry responded with her own song, Swish Swish.
Mm-hmm.
I like that song, actually.
Literally yesterday, Katy sent Perry in a box an actual olive branch.
Oh, to show, isn't that symbolic?
To show they've been doing some reflecting on our miscommunications. Want to clear the air.
So much better than
a miscommunication.
So much better than a dead bird or poo. You know, this is so much better to get boxes of those.
Poo. You say poo.
Don't get Steve mad, Dean.
Yeah, you don't want to get on the wrong side of my postal service.
Oh, look, a box from Macy's from Steve.
All right, why is Roman Polanski suing somebody?
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences kicked him and Bill Cosby out of the Academy last week. Polanski is saying that there should have been a hearing, that he should have had an opportunity to appeal the decision before it was finalized.
Okay. Now explain something to me. Did he or did he not have sex with a 13-year-old girl?
He was convicted of raping a 13-year-old in 1977.
I don't think we're going to need a hearing. I think we're good here.
He says his side needs to be heard about this.
I think he would want to never be heard about this again.
That's what I would do, but...
Bill and Ted 3?
It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. Keanu Reeves, which, you know, this series sort of, the Bill and Ted series sort of made this for him, but they've decided that in the year 2020, we have not heard enough from these two guys, they'll be back with their excellent adventures once again on big screen.
See, I like the first one. I didn't even know there was a second one.
Oh, yeah. 1991.
Oh, Bill and Ted 2, now it's personal.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now they're grown-up dads.
Oh, God.
Raising their own kids, but they're still haunted by the fact that they have still not written the greatest rock and roll song of all time.
They're actually haunted by Keanu Reeves' talent. All right, so... I have questions for you, but I think I have an answer to one of them as well. Top paid actors. I believe I know number one.
Okay.
The Rock.
Incorrect.
What?
Incorrect. What? He was number two. The Rock was number two.
Don't tell me Vin Diesel's number one.
Vin Diesel was number three. 20 million. Anne Hathaway, number four. Jennifer Lawrence, number five. The number one highest paid actor.
Give me a hint.
Is it male? Well,
it's a male.
Chris Pratt.
Of course it is.
Chris Pratt's a good guess.
Not Chris Pratt. He's not any of the Avengers.
Is he one of those Marvel people?
Not Marvel.
Okay, so he's not one of the comic book types?
Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
But plays one of the greatest heroes of all time.
One of the greatest heroes of all time.
Sylvester Stallone.
Greatest hero of all time. Is it the guy from the greatest hero? Believe it. No, that's not it.
Sometimes is referred to by only three numbers.
Three numbers? I don't care how long this takes. We're going to keep guessing.
Three numbers.
Oh, James Bond.
Likes Martini.
Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig.
That is correct.
Very nice,
Daniel
Steve.
Craig.
Good job.
Yeah. Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Right. Super Joe is giving me hints in my ear.
Oh.
Daniel Craig. How much is he making?
$25 million a
year. Holy
for
cow.
For one movie.
For just for the next James Bond movie.
Yeah, one movie.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good dough. But he does all of his own stunts, as far as we know.
Well, yeah. So does Tom Cruise.
And gets
how
the
much
queen.
Does he make?
He can get the queen in his movie, too.
Tom Cruise, though, has to give it all over to Scientology immediately
exactly.
after he makes
plus
it.
Plus, he just allegedly. Broke his ankle doing
they
his
give
last
him, They give him $8. All right. Well, that's anybody surprise you on the list other than the ones we've mentioned?
No, I think that, I mean, I'm not surprised that it's.
Who was the highest paid female?
Was Anne Hathaway.
That's interesting.
Sorry, Andre. I don't know yes. where Julianne
I know.
Moore wound up on
I'm
the list.
I'm so curious. To see
is Charlize Theron on the list?
I do not see her in the top 10. I only have the top 10.
Was Sandra Bullock in there, Dean? I didn't hear you.
Don't see her either.
Okay.
Charlize Theron, I think, is one of the greatest actress, period. And,
completely agree.
And, but her movies don't make a ton of money.
I know. I don't understand why. She's so good.
Yeah, she's got that Tully movie, right?
Yeah.
A good one.
All right. That's all we have time for today, Dean, but I appreciate the work you've done here.
I am going to go send a box of poo to somebody right now.
Gross. Remember, you've been listening to More on Entertainment. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Steve Cochran Show continues next.
Listen to Pat Brady.
This is so funny that Pat Brady has a song now. You know what I mean?
Love it.
I mean, people don't know, you know, what he's like off the air. He should have a song. But on the air, you know, it's just, I don't know. Good morning, Pat Brady.
Thank you for that song.
Yeah, well, that's John DeCoste, man. Musical director DeCoste. All right, so we have limited time here, and I know we'll get into this more with politics tomorrow as we do on Thursdays. But as I understand it, and you correct me where I'm wrong, a Russian named Vexelberg, he's an oligarch with a whole bunch of money. Oligarch is Russian for a lot of money. Vexelberg sends cash through two companies, Renova and Columbus Nova. I think that's the name of the companies. That goes to Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen then has to explain why that cash is being funneled from the Russians. He also sends money to his cousin, which ends up in Trump's inauguration fund and in campaign funds as well. Some of this before the election, some of it after the election. It's as shady as it could be, but is there anything clearly illegal here?
Not so far, but what it does, I think the significance of it is, it finally makes a link between the Cohen investigation, which is by the Southern District of New York, and the Mueller investigation, where there are which is a collusion investigation involving the Russians, where it kind of ties them all together. The more I read a bunch on this last night, and I listened to this Avenatti, who represents Stormy Daniels, and the more I listened to him, I think this is kind of half-baked. A lot of that sounds kind of doesn't sound great, but it's not unusual for somebody to set up a company and take money to be a lobbyist or somebody of influence or somebody that understands how the president works. So I think it's one of those things where, yeah, there's a little smoke here. Is there fire? I don't know. It doesn't look good, but it's just another piece in the puzzle tying Trump and his people to the Russians.
So we go forward on this. How? I mean, how do you look into it and find out if it is money laundering?
Well, I think they already nabbed the guy, Vexelberg. Mueller's team grabbed him at the airport and interviewed him. And when you do these financial cases, you can see money going in, money going out, and you can come up with all kinds of theories. But part of the process and part of why these investigations take so long is you have to corroborate those theories. There can be a lot of explanations why money goes into this account and why money goes out of that account. And some of them are completely legitimate. Some of them aren't, but they're not there yet. You have to put some meat on the bone and just looking at bare financial transactions. That's why this Avenatti, who's Stormy Daniels' lawyer, I think he gets a little over his skis on these allegations.
I agree.
I listened to him at length last night. I'm like, you know what? You got to relax a little bit. You're making a lot of allegations here that aren't exactly been proved up yet.
And as I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you're listening, but get off TV for a couple of days so we can miss you. I mean, he's on every show.
Oh, my God. Seriously. Hey, Pat, I have a kind of a simplistic question, and I apologize for the simplicity of it, but what are the rules when it comes to other countries or other people in other countries donating money to American campaigns? In other words,
it's a good question. Yeah, foreign donations.
What's the rule? And what if, say I'm born in Greece, but I come here, I'm just Joan Q. Public, and I want to make a donation to a different, to an American campaign, even though I'm born elsewhere?
Yeah, here's a short answer, Andre. I don't really know.
Okay.
I know.
So, right. Because I know, yeah.
It's a very good question. There are limitations, I know, on foreign governments and foreign people donating in U.S. presidential campaigns.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure what the rule is.
This will go where today, tomorrow, and the next few days?
I think this one dies quickly. Okay. When I read it at first, it was funny. I was watching Chris Matthews, who was just going, his head was ready to explode. And then I flipped over to Fox, and they were downplaying it. And I think this is kind of one of those things where it's just another piece in the puzzle, another question that has to be answered. I don't think this is the bombshell that Avenatti thinks it is, and I agree. He needs to get off the air for a while. But Stormy is in town this weekend, Dave Ennett told me, so we should all be.
See you tomorrow. What's up, Pat Brady? You were busy, Dave. Don't worry, we'll explain it to you.
Hey, Steve, there's a development on this too.
Yes, sir.
This morning, the Wall Street Journal is just reporting that Robert Mueller knew about some of these payments, probably all of them. Specifically, Novartis. They had contacted Novartis back in November of 2017 about nearly $1 million in payments to Michael Cohen's essential consultants.
And Novartis and AT&T both stated last night that they hired Cohen to learn more about Trump. The question is it pay for play? Right.
Well, Novartis this morning has changed its story a little bit, now saying that they paid essential consultants for healthcare policy matters consulting.
What?
So healthcare policy matters.
Because of Michael Cohen's longtime expertise in the field?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I should probably get that, huh?
Haven't heard a phone ring like that in a while.
Oh, that's our regular phone. You didn't know that? That's the phone.
The landline?
It's not going to sound like that in the new building.
It's the special line that the president calls in on.
Oh,
let me get it right now.
The orange phone?
Mr. President, good morning.
Good morning, Cochran. Three Americans once held captive in North Korea, now returning home.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
I have to give you credit for it. I really do. And I'm inclined to back you on this other thing, to be honest with you.
Let's make this quick. I have a date with a spray tanner in 10 minutes.
All right. So look, it's great to have you on. The Attorney General Michael Cohen, was paid $500,000 by a shell company of a Russian oligarch.
You know, frankly, getting this news yesterday kind of spoiled my Taco Tuesday, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then I remembered it was fake news, Steve. Fake news. Everybody knows oligarchs aren't real. They're just those nasty creatures that were killed by the hobbits and dwarves in the second Lord of the Rings movie.
I didn't know that, and that's frankly not true, Mr. President.
And by the way, this $500,000 payment, very low amount.
Mm-hmm.
But it's chump change, frankly. Not nearly enough for all the porn stars who would have to be paid off by a guy like me, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
You know what? This Michael Avenatti guy, though, he's something else. He's out for blood.
Mm-hmm.
He's very sharp, handsome, lots of charisma, and I really wish I could trade him in for Giuliani. I really do.
You know, speaking of Rudy, you've been friends with him for years, and people are saying you're upset with him. I could understand why. So what's the deal? Happy with him or not?
Well, I will tell you, Rudy's having a tough time. He came on board a little late, but he's only been able to read my Trump collusion, obstruction, laundering, hush money cliff notes. Cliff notes, not the entire brief, so he's missing some facts. But in all fairness, you know, Rudy never cheats at golf, so that's why I keep him around.
Well, you got to have your priorities. Now, the other big story yesterday was your announcement that the U.S. is pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal. Did you sleep on it? Any new thoughts?
Look, it was a horrible deal, so we pulled out of the deal. But we're going to redo the deal. Totally revamped deal. Bigger and better deal than ever before. And then we'll slap my name on it in big letters. Think the Taj Mahal Casino, Atlantic City, without all the debt and bankruptcy.
Really?
It's called rebranding, Cochran.
I see. Look at you.
And by the way, Mike Pence, get me a map so I can see where Tehran is. Add a Diet Coke out of my gold mini fridge. Not necessarily in that order. On it, my liege. All right. And, you know, Iran's president, what's his name? Rice-A-Roni.
No,
the supreme leader guy. Let's just call him Smith.
It seems right.
We don't know what these losers are hiding in those flowing robes and headdresses they're wearing. Plenty of room to hide something, believe me. Look, we're going to reinstate tough sanctions on Iran, whatever the hell those are. Not only that, but I'm going to gaslight Rice-A-Roni on Twitter.
What?
Maybe give him a nickname like President Lion Sleepy Eyes Rice-A-Roni. It'll drive him nuts.
Your focus is off, sir. But even with the sanctions, Iran has threatened the United States with, quote, historic remorse if we pull out of the deal like you did yesterday. Aren't you concerned?
You know, frankly, I think historic remorse is going to go all the way and win the triple crown.
Oh, it's not a
tremendous horse. I just hope he doesn't break a leg and have to get put down and sent to a glue factory.
And now we got to move on. Is it true that you've asked... Dr. Oz from TV to serve on the White House Health Council?
Dr. Oz is a tremendous television physician, Cochran. He really is. Not like that dirty, long-haired Manson family doctor I used to have. Harold Bornstein, you remember him?
I got it.
I don't think he was even a real doctor. No matter what you came in for, he had you turn your head and cough, gave you the full exam right in the waiting room.
That's not good.
Very strange.
No.
Soft hands, though, I will tell you. Oh. Soft hands.
Yeah. Lastly, Melania, anything special coming up for Mother's Day this weekend?
What a stupid question, Cochran. Why would I get Melania something? She's not my mother.
Right.
No, this is going to be all on Barron. It's Barron's day to screw up for once. And his nanny informs me he's going to have absolutely no time to get her anything.
Is that
something
right?
About a robotics club at school. I'm so proud of him. He's a chip off the old block. He really is.
Well, Mr. President, as always, I appreciate you taking the time to call on our special super secret phone.
It was a joy talking with me, Cochran. Double OK sign.
Yes, it was. News next, and CLTV joins us on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I'm having a text fight with Spike Odell.
Oh, I've had those.
Spike was listening this morning when David Kaplan was on. David Kaplan, of course, being honored next week, along with Mary Vandeveld and others, the Walk of Fame. And Spike writes, I heard your bit with Kaplan. I have to take issue with you, underlined. Cap and I did the water challenge. His nickname was Cap the Camel. I won the contest, but on the way to the bathroom, Kozlowski picked me up, turned me upside down, and shook me, thought I was going to pee all over him and me.
Did he?
Now, he may have done this.
Yes.
But I did it too.
Yes.
And I believe we did it first, but I don't know that to be true. I would never question the big brother I have never asked for, Spike.
Mm-hmm.
He's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a cap way. I mean, literally, he's my guy.
You know what's funny? That you guys are the contest over which you
fighting over
are
it?
Fighting over the pee contest. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here's the thing. A boy doesn't forget that. When you put your vital organs through that kind of stress, you don't forget that.
I can honestly say women would never have this text fight.
Yeah, it's pretty true. That's pretty true.
And again, is it something you would want to try again at this stage?
Not a chance. Not a chance. Not a chance. Matter of fact, I look at a bottle of water and I've got to go.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Play a little more of that harp. The Steve Cochran Show continues. You know, guests come to this show in many different ways. The traditional ways are a publicist will pitch the show or will ask for a particular guest. But sometimes, Andrea has a friend who's got a really smart kid.
That's right.
So what's the story?
Well, Julie Rader, friend of the program, friend of mine for many, many, many years, went to school here in Illinois, has been working in New York, though, for years. She's the matriarch of Blackheart Records, which is Joan Jett's record label.
Yeah.
She and Kenny Laguna have been business partners for many, many, many years, and she has a brilliant and wonderful son named Zach, and we're so excited to have him with us. Her words, not mine. She said he's the brains of the family. Zach Schoenbrunn has written a book called The Performance Cortex. He's a former sports writer, now writing about neuroscience, Steve.
But this is about the brain of the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And does it work differently?
Yeah.
Do people who are experts in their field, do they have similar neuroactivity? And Zach joins us now. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
I just want to say I couldn't ask for a better publicist than my mom, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations on the book. What are you doing for your mom for Mother's Day, by the way?
Thanks for reminding me, actually.
Oh,
write it down, doctor.
No.
Write it down.
She's a good one.
All right, so listen, the greatest athletes in the world come to mind when you think of sports and the sports mind and the brain. Certainly the science has changed to the point where it's become a major part of the discussion for all the major sports and the minor sports too, where it can be afforded. But there's something really jumped out at me in the book. You talk in the book about the difference between how somebody plays a violin and how the hands have to work separately, and how they generally suck at playing the piano because they've trained all these years for the hands to work separately. Does it work the same way in sports?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. You know, we typically think about the brain as far as its hemispheres, different hemispheres controlling different portions, areas of the body or sides of the body, left hemisphere, right hemisphere controlling the left side and the right side, and breaking down those different hemispheres into actually producing a concerted, concentrated effort involving both hands, like something like piano, is actually a really difficult process for the brain to master. And so, you know, when you're talking about something in terms of sports, you know, we're often so focused on working on one hand at a time, like, you know, working on a layup with one hand or shooting with one hand. The fact that certain athletes have gotten to be so good at being ambidextrous, like a LeBron James, who can do so many things with both hands, it requires a ton of time, ton of practice with both of those with both of those hands in motion. And these are just complicated problems for the brain to master. It's not usual. It's not a typical thing that you or I are going to have to do. And so, breaking through these restraints that evolutionarily we've put on ourselves, that's what athletes who are ambidextrous, who are able to use both hands, have been able to do. And I think it's just another example of the complexity and intricacy of movement in general as we move about this world, things that we typically take for granted. You know, reaching for a coffee mug at the end of the desk, or walking down the street and avoiding obstacles, making sure we don't walk into oncoming traffic. You know, we do this very easily; it comes naturally to us. But these sorts of things are demanding and complicated for the brain to produce. You know, every millisecond of our lives, and somebody who's able to use both hands effectively, in a sporting arena, is another example of how they've been able to break through something that you or I would have a lot of struggle doing.
So, Zach, is there something to be said for? I mean, we've heard this for years. My cousin, say, he's 6 years old. He throws a baseball like you wouldn't believe. So we always joke at the family parties and say, oh, put it in his left hand. You know, teach him how to throw lefty. So is there something really to that?
I think it certainly, if he wants to make the major leagues, it might be beneficial for him to be a left-handed pitcher, because I think it's easier for him to
more openings
to make the major leagues in that way. But you know, right. at a youth level and childhood and adolescence, the brain is much more fertile and receptive to changes and development than it is as we get later on in life. There's a thing called neuroplasticity, in which the brain can transform and change as we move through life, but obviously that neuroplasticity is much more pronounced in earlier in life. This is why, you know, school and education and learning new languages comes easier to us when we're younger. That doesn't mean that we can't change and adapt as we get older, and there has been evidence of neuroplasticity throughout adulthood as well, but for a kid, for a child, you know, getting him or her practicing something, whatever it is, in terms of motor movement, you know, whether that is pitching with his left hand or shooting with both hands, it will be easier for him to adapt and learn that way than it would be if you tried to have him pitch lefty later in life.
Dave, say hi to Zach.
Hey, Zach, good morning. I know a lot of sports writers. I don't know how many of them I could sit down and have a conversation about neuroplasticity with. How do you know so much about the brain and its role?
Yeah, hey, Dave.
You big show-off. How do you?
Hey, listen, I've been asking myself that same question for the last 3 years as I've been writing and reporting this. I mean, what am I doing writing about neuroscience? I am a sports writer in New York, and so I never thought I would be going down this path. But really, you know, what started was I found an article about two neuroscientists that were starting to do some work with baseball teams. They had been studying hitters at Columbia University. And they started a startup company that was starting to work with Major League Baseball teams in assessing and quantifying decision-making in a hitter, that decision to swing or not swing at a pitch, at a fastball that's coming in 0.4 of a second. And they were using a piece of neuroimaging equipment called EEG to make that assessment. And, you know, this seemed just really different to me. I'd heard about cognitive training and brain gaming, kind of like the Lumosity type of things that teams had started to dabble with. And obviously, sports psychology and mindfulness has been in sports for some time now. But actually using this piece of neuroscience equipment and actually getting at, you know, what differences there might be in that split second decision making ability of baseball hitters seemed to represent to me a real breakthrough in terms of where sports could potentially head. And it just really interested me in learning more about the motor system and the role that our brain plays in everything that we do, not just in elite athletics, but our own movement and how we move about through this world. And then, of course, last year, with the American League MVP race coming down to two baseball hitters who could not look any more different, right? Jose Altuve for the Houston Astros being 5'5", and Aaron Judge for the Yankees being 6'7", 280 pounds. You know, they could not look any more different, and yet there they are, top of their sport, doing the same thing, and doing it in the same way, and yet, so as a scout, how are you supposed to kind of assess that without evaluating the cognitive component, the decision-making ability of those hitters? And so that's where I think neuroscience is going to take the big leap forward here in sports.
What's the book title again, Andrea?
The book title is The Performance Cortex, How Neuroscience is Redefining Athletic Genius.
All right, hit Mr. Smarty Pants with another question.
All right, last one for you, Zach. There's an interesting portion in your book about the skin and its role in movement.
This is weird.
This is wild, yeah.
Yeah, this was one of the most interesting things that I came across in my reporting, because I was doing a book about motor, and yet here were neuroscientists talking to me about sensory, but they weren't talking to me about sensory in terms of vision or, you know, sense of taste or anything like that. They were talking about skin. They were talking about the sense of touch. And, you know, just as there are differences in how we all see and how we all might smell things, there are differences in how we perceive the sense of touch, and this all obviously happens through our skin. And yet I still kind of wondered, what does this have to do with movement? How does our skin actually affect our movement? And there was a really fascinating study in which they took a woman and they had her light a match, and she lit it no problem, very simply, very easily, just as we all would do. And then they took a little pinprick and they pricked the end of her fingertips, and they just numbed a few mechanoreceptors at the end of her fingertips. These are the receptor organs. There are thousands in our fingertips. They only pricked about a dozen of them in just three fingertips, and she could no longer grip the match. In fact, she could no longer figure out how to orient the match in her hand, never mind light it again. And so just that role that the skin and those mechanoreceptors play, not just in our ability to perceive what we're feeling around us, but also how we ultimately move, seemed really interesting to me. Yeah. And of course, you wonder what happened with Deflategate, right? Why that was such a big deal, why the Patriots would go to such lengths to take out the PSI in the football for Tom Brady just by a few degrees. And you wonder, well, maybe it's because that grip was important, not just for him to feel the football in his hands, but actually to produce throws and make accurate passes. And it's all related to again this brain and the neuroscience of performance.
Zach, are you married?
Yes, I am happily married.
And when you talk about this stuff with your wife, does she go, "Don't talk to me about this stuff, Zach? Take out the trash."
Yes. I think I've bored her enough at this point.
The book is called.
Dave. The book is called The Performance Cortex, How Neuroscience is Redefining Athletic Genius.
And Zach, I know you'd like this for everybody, but I really think this is something for a kid that loves sports and loves science, and for anybody that loves sports in general, to really get behind, you know, what makes us all tick. So last question, and we'll let you go. Tom Brady, Stephon Curry, the actual top athletes in the game today, Tiger when he was in his prime, does their brain work more efficiently, or are they built and born to be that way?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. Unfortunately, there's no evidence yet to this point that anybody's born with a brain for sports. But yet, as I mentioned earlier, that neuroplasticity and the ability for the brain to transform due to time and practice, that's probably what we would think is most responsible for the greatness of certain athletes in their domains. And so they started at a young age. and they worked so hard. And I think, you know, we often think about the 10,000 hours rule and 10,000 hours for expertise, but that doesn't have anything to do with, it doesn't take 10,000 hours for you to bolster your muscles and get bigger or stronger. What that is it's 10,000 hours for the brain to develop and transform over time to be able to handle the demands of a particular sport. And so I think it's just a new way of thinking about sports and about performance. It's not about the muscles and the physicality of these guys. Those might be factors, but ultimately what it has to do with is their decision-making, their perception, their skin, you know, other factors that have to do with their brains.
It's Zach. Is it Schoenbrunn? I want to make sure I get that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Zach Schoenbrunn, the Performance Cortex. Go out and get two copies, or as I like to say, because my science brothers appreciate it, 2.0 copies. Make sure you have a backup copy. That's my point, digital or otherwise. Congratulations, Zach. It's a big deal writing a book. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach. Say happy Mother's Day
to
your mom.
Go take care of your mom.
I'm going to say hi, Mom.
Hi, Julie.
Don't drop the ball on this one, man. I want to say hi to our friends at CLTV. Who's producing today? Is it Fawn?
Fawn's producing. Yeah. Hi, Fawn.
Hi, Fawn.
I think Roscoe's directing.
And hi, Roscoe. Now, when we go over to the new place over at 303 East Wacker, I'm hopeful that some of these camera angles will be able to be changed and I'll look 20 years younger. But the one angle that's difficult for them to do anything with is from behind.
Yeah.
Because from behind, to get a two shot, as we say in the business, of you guys, what they get from behind is my giant bald head.
Yep.
And I believe it's a distraction to Chicagoans everywhere. So, Chicagoans and the folks in the surrounding area.
I like that angle.
Yeah. They will have new cameras, cool. But they will also keep that angle available.
For party tricks?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I think it's just the lighting, Steve. Because look at Dave. Dave said you could see like the lights bouncing, your light.
Well, there's certain lighting issues in this. The studio wasn't built for television, obviously, but there's certain lighting things. Like, you look fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
You go to Dave, he looks like he's got high blood pressure and he's a drinker, and we know that's not true.
Thank you.
He does not have high blood pressure, Steve.
Yeah, and in my case, again, you know, they say the camera adds 10 pounds, and I say, oh, it's more than that. Mm-hmm. And it makes you look older, too. So
there
but,
you go.
But I'm excited about the new look of the new studio in this beautiful new place we're going to be.
Yes.
And our friends at CLTV. You know, we'll bring you this 9 o'clock hour every day.
Yes, and we thank them for that.
Yeah. My mom refuses to be on the CLTV show on Friday.
Now, how come? Do we know why?
I think she's on the run from the law.
She's adorable.
I think my mom actually is a criminal, and I think she's got to maintain her secrecy.
Mm-hmm. But she is coming in.
Yeah,
because she wants to see Dave.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, she wants to see her favorite son.
My honorary mom.
You. It's 9:31. We're back with the headlines next. Ro Khan will join us in a little bit for no good reason on 720 WGN.
And good luck to the Blackhawks minor league team, the Rockford Ice Hogs. They host the Manitoba Moose tonight. Game 3 of their AHL playoff series. The Ice Hogs up 2 games tonight.
Oink, go Hogs.
Is that their official cheer?
It is here.
And the Chicago Fire's home tonight, taking on Montreal. And the home of the Blackhawks, the Wildcats, and White Sox baseball. Dave Bennett, WGN.
Your money answer. 720 WGN. Here's Orion Samuelson.
And first of all, a suggestion to Steve. His interpretation of a hog sound needs a lot of work.
It's not oink oink. Going,
pardon?
It's not oink oink. Oink is like the made up version of what a hog sounds like.
Yeah, that is the made up version, but a hog doesn't. I've never heard a hog say oink oink.
But do you have a hog noise that you could go to? I'd like to learn.
Well, I'll work on that, but it's a difficult sound to duplicate.
Okay, all right.
But I'll work on it, and when I have it ready, maybe by the 18th when I come down to the studio,
we'll
I'll
debut
be able
it.
To give it to you.
Beautiful.
These are ice hogs, though.
So you think cold hogs might say oink oink? Skating hogs? All right. Oh, go ahead. We're done now.
Yeah, I think so.
.944 Ro Khan joins us. Good morning, Ro Khan.
Good morning, Steve Cochran.
When are we going to have that lunch we talked about 6 months ago?
Isn't that always how that goes? You know, it's one of the idiosyncrasies of radio, which is that the afternoon and morning shows, or as you would say, morning and afternoon shows,
because yeah, exactly.
It's always about
Let's get
top
it right.
billing.
Come on, man.
Right. Yeah, always, you know, there's often a rivalry between the two where they don't get along because mm-hmm. they never see each other. But right. in our case, there's a deep and abiding friendship, and we just never get to see each other because we're at the other end of the clock.
Never.
Somebody was just asking me. It's so funny. They were just asking me about Nick DiGilio. I was
right.
somewhere, and somebody came up to me and go, what's Nick DiGilio really like? And I had to say, I have no idea, because I have met Nick DiGilio twice in passing.
Right.
Right? After being, you know, in business together for 30 years and working with him for four.
Yeah, you don't see him. Well, yeah. Patty Vasquez. Patty and I used to see each other almost every day, whether it was doing comedy mm-hmm. or she was here as a guest and various things. She couldn't be more on the opposite end of the clock. You know, yeah. I got a better chance of seeing Nick. You know, she's on from 11 at night till 2 in the morning. Just know that Ro and I are going to be having lunch soon.
Yes. Well, we should have it sponsored, and then we.
See you today, right? At that outing thing that we can't talk about.
I actually can't be at that outing thing because I got to go work on the TV.
Any chance to avoid me, he'll take it. Hey, have you decided what you're going to get the kids for a royal wedding gift? Because I'm torn right now. I don't know what to get them.
I always do at every wedding. I voucher for divorce lawyers. I do that just because I know where that goes.
Frequent flyer.
Yeah, I have deals with lawyers all over.
Yeah, Ro got a Groupon.
Yeah, yeah. A two for a BOGO.
I don't know if you noticed this, but everything in pop culture now can be compressed into a list.
Uh huh.
And there's a great website called Mental Floss. It has some pretty cool lists on it. And if you're doing your own radio show, it's a great thing to keep in your back pocket for a time killer. Did I say all that out loud?
Yes.
So anyway, it's a list, Ro. It's a list of the strangest wedding gifts ever given to royals for the wedding. And I believe I've boiled it down to, we got a problem in Somerset, England. And if there's a gift coming to these kids, Meghan and Harry, mm-hmm. from Somerset, it's going to be a problem. Here's why. Queen Victoria married Prince Albert in 1840. Ask me what the town of Somerset gave them as a gift.
Shrunken head.
A half-ton wheel of cheese.
Damn it.
9 feet across, 1,000-plus pounds, 750 cows made it.
What's a cow sound like, by the way, Steve?
Oink, oink.
There you go. There yeah. you.
All right, so fast forward all the way to Prince Charles and Lady Di, 1981.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Somerset, England, recognizing Prince Charles' pension for farming, gave the couple a ton of high-quality peat, P-E-A-T, to use on his estate.
Oh, like peat moss?
Yeah, but okay. I think peat's more, we'd have to ask Orion, but isn't peat a mixture that might include some manure, right? Isn't it a little bit of everything?
I think it's just moss.
Is it just moss?
There's the hog.
That's not really going to me. I hate to disagree with Orion, but I'm going to say that's as close to an oink as you can get. I don't know. Because, you know, they put it, peat moss is how they make scotch. These are the things
now
I know.
You get into an area that you know.
Yeah, this is things I know. And they put that on the wheat, and then before they distill the wheat, and it creates this kind of...
I got to think, you get duplicate wedding gifts. I got to think nobody else got them that.
I would think not.
Nobody else got them, Pete.
Or cheese.
You could do a ton of compost if you wanted. That would be kind of a nice thing.
Here's what we just did. We just brought you the compost because y'all are going to need on your farm.
Of course, you'll have a Make America Great Again hat in there somewhere.
A MAGA.
So, how are things on the Rocon show? Because you've got a money laundering story, which I believe by 3 o'clock could be really big or nothing at all.
Oh, boy. I don't want to give away too much yet. Actually, the Rocon show with Anna DeVlantis will be starting around 4 o'clock because of the Sox.
Yep.
But there is we got a tip on something that we're chasing. Now, we are not properly prepared to chase these kinds of stories,
mm-hmm.
but it's an interesting twist on and detail about this $500,000. Money that $500,000 in cash that Michael Cohen had received from this bank that it may have been funneled through this, and funneled is now a term that is a positive term apparently,
right.
in
Rudy Giuliani
in banking,
yeah.
as opposed to a negative term,
right.
according to the president's attorney. But may have been funneled through an offshore bank. Now, the problem is we're trying to track this down, and I'm trying to see if anybody who's actually investigating this has got the same intel that we were given yesterday. But that this the offshore bank that we were told about has really a very, very, very interesting past. And it has a big American connection to it, and so that another guy who's in the in administration would have a connection to it. So there might be more than just Michael Cohen's name. Well,
hello,
popping up in all of
hello.
This, yeah.
4 o'clock today. Now, here's the thing: if you are opening a company, an LLC, you can have a shell company that's not a bad company. Shell company could be that definition of a shell company is not criminal. Having said that, right, if it's a shell company,
but these are all very negative words.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. Yeah. But if a shell company is a place where you're sending all of the funds you're getting, and some of those funds are paid out to keep people silent, and all of the funds or a majority of them come from Russian connections, that's not a great thing. Now, it doesn't mean he did anything illegal. It could be nothing. And as I've said many times this morning, I don't need to see Michael Avenatti on TV today. Take a day off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, well, but it doesn't
Avenatti
look good.
How Avenatti ends up in this is a mystery to me. I mean, this is the kind of story. I don't, who's giving it to Avenatti? And was there a crime committed in Avenatti knowing that? That's one of the problems that I have.
That's interesting.
This.
I thought
we
about that.
We should make up t-shirts with the flow chart. Because, Ro, early on, Steve.
Oh, that'd have
you
to be a 3X.
Really, I know. You did a really nice job. You have to start on the front and be continued in the
right,
back.
Right.
Just to describe all the players.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And that's the thing. It's like, it was like when we were trying to explain the. The monetization of these loans, securitization of these loans in the mid 2000s that led to the crash. You know, it was an impossible thing to explain. It was when you get into the complicated funneling or laundering of money, it gets pretty complicated and people's eyes glaze over. And all they really want to know is, did somebody do something wrong and what was it? And you point to a very important issue, which is, you could do all of this, and it doesn't necessarily add up to illegal.
Right.
It may be designed to get preferential tax treatment. It may be designed to get around certain people, whether it's competitors, knowing what you're doing. Of all of the things that have happened here, you know, with the president standing up there that one day in July of 2016 and saying, hey, Russia, if you've got those emails, let us know. All the way to how we find ourselves here now. This story, if it pans, is probably the one that will create the biggest problem. Because and in the meantime, the president's having a really, really, really good couple of weeks.
There's no question. Right? Yesterday, his side, his base, and frankly, a lot of people are going, good, good. The Iran deal needed to go. I'm not one of them. I'd like to know what plan B is or what we do next. But the three hostages that come home today, hopefully they're in healthy shape. The president absolutely gets credit for that.
Right. And the one federal judge, this that story down in Virginia where the one federal
judge a weird one.
Said, hey, Robert Mueller, hold on one second here. You don't have any standing in this case. What are you doing? You just want to go out and get the president. The headline of that was that a judge castigates Robert Mueller about wanting to go out and get the president. The real story there was the judge was doing something that was absolutely what most federal judges would have done, which is he was challenging the standing of Robert Mueller's team being the legal team that brings that case to him because it's not related to what their charge is.
Convince me why we're here. Counselor. Yeah.
Right. That's it. Now, and the judge said, and this is the smaller reported part, which is it doesn't mean that Mueller shouldn't be tried on these charges. It's who's trying him.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be the U.S.
Manafort.
Attorney's Office?
Manafort.
I'm sorry. President Trump says Mueller.
Right.
But Manafort should be charged on this using the U.S. Attorney's Office in Alexandria, not using Mueller's people, because it'll just get referred to that because there is enough. There's enough there to put together a charge.
Yeah, and here's the thing, because we struggle with this every day, and I know you guys do as well. This stuff is complicated. It's layered. The president of the United States has spent in his entire adult life spinning a web and a tornado of BS. He's really good at it. Yet we have to decide on a daily basis, are we going to go deep on this stuff and try to inform the public? Because the people walking by this window, Ro, when you're on, when I'm on, they have lives. They're busy.
Right.
You know, they're doing things. And then there's people that go, I'm sick of it. Don't talk about it anymore. Well, it's your country. It's America. It's kind of important.
Right. And people get, you know, get very animated by whatever was obviously conservatives. And a lot of people, not even conservatives, there were just people out there who got animated by Barack Obama. They just didn't,
right.
They looked at him and they didn't like him, or they didn't like his policies, or they, whatever it was. But, you know, for good and for bad. And there were a lot of policies that he had that weren't particularly good. The same can be said of Donald Trump. It's the same. You know, we now live in these polls, right? And we live in these, this increasingly tribal environment. And it's a really, to me, the biggest thing here is my biggest complaint about Donald Trump and where we live right now is he's changing the course of discourse in America.
Completely
he's changing
agree.
How we do what we do.
And how we relate to each other.
What the expectations of a United States of American president is.
Yep.
And that to me is really, 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 I'm uncomfortable with it because I want my president to be trustworthy. I want my president to be measured.
And have standards that are leading the rest of us.
Right. And important, he can be tough. He can, and he can be lithe as well as he has been with North Korea. Sure, I'll meet with him. Nobody else would meet with him. I'll meet with him.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. That's leadership. That's fine. But calling people names, going after people personally, the kinds of things that he said about John McCain, and now on, you know, John McCain's, imminent leaving of the Senate and perhaps leaving of this mortal coil. I mean, you know, we have to stop and think about it. John McCain has this book out that's coming out that is absolutely brilliant
right.
in his assessment of America. And it's about our what do we believe? What are our mores? What are our tenets? And what is our brand? As it is domestically and internationally, we got to. And Donald Trump is interrupting that brand, and I don't want that brand interrupted.
I agree with you 1,000%. Now I'd like to hear more of this at 4. And your friend Lester Holt is wandering around downtown.
Yeah,
I say your friend because he won't get up and get on this show.
Yeah,
but he's wandering around doing a Cross America series this week on Nightly News.
Yes, he is.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Too. All right, thank you.
That's Rokan. Back with Bill and Wendy next, 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here. They're all wound up as usual right before their show.
How a little hyper. We're hyper.
Mm-hmm. Too much of juice. Too many juice boxes in your office.
Yeah, three is too many, as it turned out. We got to go with two from now on.
What are you doing today?
We have White Sox tickets to give away, so that's pretty darned exciting. And Jimmy Pardo will be joining us.
You're going to give Jimmy Pardo away?
He's adorable.
Yep. He is adorable.
Yeah.
He's one of the funniest people there is, and he doesn't get obnoxious about how tall he is.
Are you really going to give him away?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So
seventh caller?
Does he know this?
Lucky listener. No, he's not aware of it.
Seventh caller wins comedian Jimmy Pardo.
I love live radio.
Wow, that's great. See you tomorrow.